America, sweet America.
That's Ray Charles in 1972 singing America the Beautiful.
God done shed his grace on thee.
For our American Anthem series, we bring you the story of the woman behind those famous lyrics. NPR's Eric Westervelt traveled to Pike's Peak to see firsthand how the place inspired an American classic.
One weekend in July of 1893, a feminist poet and Wellesley College English professor, Catherine Lee Bates, scaled Pike's Peak just outside Colorado Springs, Colorado. She was teaching a summer session on Chaucer and recovering from a suicidal depression earlier that spring. A brand new railway up the 14,000-plus-foot mountain was broken, so Bates had to make it up the rocky path by horse-drawn wagon and then by mule. We're going by SUV. Even today, the road is intimidating, with narrow switchbacks and astonishingly few guardrails, as a park ranger warns us.
There are some winter driving conditions.
Are there?
Just go careful.
Okay.
And use your lowest gears on the way back down so you don't overheat the brakes.
Thank you so much.
With me is my guide, historian Leah Davis Witherow, curator of the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum.
That's part of the thrill of getting to the top of Pike's Peak is that you've braved your way up.
On top of the windswept peak to the east, you can see almost all the way to Kansas. And to the north, the Rocky Mountains stretch into the distance.
Catherine Lee Bates actually talked about and described in her journals that the summit of Pike's Peak was the gateway to heaven.
The sun is hitting these red rocks and these alpine evergreens, dusted with snow. You can see the clouds hovering.
In the late afternoon, as the sun is shining and the shadows are coming over the mountains, the mountain looks purple. It kind of radiates this purple glow, and it is beautiful.
Bates later wrote that the view overwhelmed her. That's a soloist with the choir of Washington National Cathedral. Bates's poem, America, was first published on the 4th of July in 1895, 2 years after her trip up Pike's Peak. She revised it in 1904, adding the lines, "And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." It was later set to Samuel Ward's tune, Materna, and the modern America the Beautiful was born. It's been what you might call the national hymn ever since. Bates's poem and song reflect her belief in community and social justice, values that came out of her hardscrabble upbringing on Massachusetts's Cape Cod. She grew up rich in heritage. Her grandfather had been a college president, but they were poor. Living in Falmouth on the Cape, Bates's minister father died when she was a month old. To survive, her widowed mother had to be thrifty, but also share with neighbors to feed and clothe her four young kids. Her mom sewed for neighbors, sold eggs and asparagus, and the Bates boys would chop wood for other widows.
She said in her little autobiography that Falmouth practiced a kind of neighborly socialism. And I think by that she meant that it was, as her mother said, share and share alike.
Bates biographer Melinda Ponder says the family's challenges gave Catherine deep empathy and lifelong interest in helping those struggling to make ends meet.
She wrote a line about not wanting to feast with the few. She wanted everyone to be included in whatever bounty there was.
Bates and her close female companion of more than 25 years, fellow Wellesley professor and social activist Catherine Coman, got involved in the reformist settlement house movement. They helped organize a settlement home for immigrant workers in Boston. America the Beautiful is a plea and a prayer for the United States to use its material wealth for the common good. Remember, her father was a minister. May God thy gold refine till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Aretha Franklin in Pontiac, Michigan. On her way out to Colorado by train, Catherine Lee Bates visited the 1893 Chicago World's Fair. The expo glorified turn-of-the-century industrial optimism and wealth.
And everything that's great about progress of civilization.
You can hear it in the song's line, "Thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears." Bates knew the White City, as it was called at the Chicago World's Fair, was an unrealized ideal. Here's mezzo-soprano Denise Graves. At the same time, there was deep worry among intellectuals that industrialization, the growth of cities, and the rise of mass culture were all making Americans soft and divorced from nature and one another. Historian Leah Davis Witherow.
And then she comes west and she has this natural experience. She has these two diametrically opposing voices or images in her head, both of what's best that can be built and what's best that is here by nature.
In that sense, Bates' song was born during and contributed to the myth of the West, that American fantasy that a limitless frontier would serve as a source of perpetual rejuvenation, freedom, and equality. A thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness, Bates wrote. This is a 1923 recording by the Shannon Quartet.
A thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every
In 1918, when the armistice ending World War I took effect on November 11th, From Sea to Shining Sea took on a more global meaning for Bates. Soldiers from the six New England states, known as the Yankee Division, stood in stunned silence near the French city of Verdun as the artillery ceased at 11 a.m. Soon after, those Americans walked out of their trenches, some in tears, and began singing America the Beautiful. Ponder says when word of that reached the poet, she was deeply moved.
She said she cried when she heard the story herself. She realized she had written a song that gave voice to these soldiers, and they could picture their country that they loved and now would be able to come home to.
America, America.
In the end, America the Beautiful is more aspirational than the Star-Spangled Banner. It's not proclaiming greatness as an established fact. It's asking more than whether the flag has survived an artillery strike. This young feminist poet, who had just emerged from a deep depression, was asking if the nation, and perhaps the world, can ever live up to its high ideals. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.